All right. Well, I'm kind of tonight. We're going to finish up on the Christian and the law, and try to kind of tie up the loose ends. I think we've covered it pretty well, but I left just it's a pretty big subject, and so tonight we're going to talk about what is liberty. What is liberty? We talked a lot about the law, and we're not under the law. We're under grace. We're not going to read all the verses. We'll be in Galatians. We're not going to read all the verses we've read, Romans 6 and all the verses. It just says you're not under the law, but under grace. And I was talking to a Christian not a lot long ago about this, and they were going back to the law. And I said, well, the Bible says we're not under the law. And they said, well, it doesn't say we're not under the law. Under the law, it just says we're not supposed to keep the rituals. I said, no, it says we're not under the law. And so I just started showing the verses, and we're not under the law. That's what the Bible says, and so it says that many times. Well, let's see. Let's read Galatians, and then we'll do a little review just to kind of get us in the mindset of this series. It's been teaching all of us a lot. A lot of us have been commenting on it, and I've been learning some things. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Notice that the schoolmaster is to bring us to Christ. You're no longer under the schoolmaster, but now you're under childhood. You're underneath your parent now, it says. Verse 23, but after faith has come, you're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you're children of God by Christ Jesus. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into this a little bit. Lord, speak to us now and help us understand your word. Lord, help us to get a good grasp. Lord, this is big doctrine that gives us a big picture of the whole Bible, makes it all make sense. And Lord, we thank you for doctrine. You said the scripture is good for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction. And I pray to give us good doctrine and help us to see your word in clarity. Focus our minds on truth. Help us to see your word. And Lord, this is a bit tricky. Your word says it pretty clearly, but our minds have a little fine line that we mess up in sometimes. So I pray that you'd help us to see clearly the truth of liberty and what it is in the Bible, and speak to us now powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go back to an illustration I gave last week, because it says in Colossians 1 that the law was a shadow of good things to come, but it was not the very things. And so we talked about an island that was going to get cars. And so we said that we are not under the law but under grace, but that but there was a shadow for those who were looking forward, and they kind of got a picture. They learned a bunch of things about God through the shadow, and it kind of gave them a little bit of a picture. And so they would learn how to drive. They'd sit in a fake car and learn how to do all the things and turn the wheel and use the gear shifter and all that stuff, but it wasn't really the car. And once the cars came, once the roads came, you're no longer need to be in the old car. It was just a picture of a car that was going to come, so you learn how to do it. But he also said you learned a bunch of rules and laws and principles that are the rules of driving. And so though you might not get in the fake car that this island that never had cars had before, you still stay on the right side of the road if that's what they taught you. You still stopped at a stop sign. You still don't run into other cars, and so these principles, these rules, these moralities of driving, they don't change. Even though you're not, even though you're really in a car now, it didn't change the morality of those things. And we said that's how God is, and so God, and I didn't go back to the end, but we want to go back to it for a second here. Is now that we're not under the law, there is still the morality of God that never changes. Okay, for example, thou shalt not kill. Understand this, not killing was there before the law was there. The law came in Exodus 20, Ten Commandments, but Cain killed Abel and got in trouble with God way back in Genesis. So we're still under thou shalt not kill. That's the morality of God. It's not the ceremony. It's not a picture of Christ like a lamb being killed. So we are not underneath the morality of God never changes, so we're not no longer, now we're not free to do whatever thing we think is right or wrong. And because those rules still apply. Even though that everything they were teaching was a shadow of things, once the real thing's there, the morality you have to stay under and the rules, the principles of those things, you still needed a sacrifice for sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Okay? These things are something real. God says the wages of sin is death. Okay? And so those things are still there. The principles are still there. And we went to a bunch of verses in Ephesians 4 and stuff where it says stealing is still wrong. Okay? I'm not in the law anymore. I'm robbing banks. And Jesus will be happy about it. No. That's a morality of God. He didn't want you to steal before then. And that's part of God's morality. It's not part of the ritual of the temple of a priest sprinkling blood on his big toe of his right foot. It's not the same thing. And so we see that. And so we're not underneath those things. And so God's morality still stands. Now, we are here in Galatians chapter 3. And let's go to Galatians chapter 4 now. We just talked about that childhood thing. And I want to give you some more verses on that and get back to that. Chapter 4. And I want to read a lengthy passage. I'm going to say similar things about you're a child now. That's higher than being under the law. You got taken out from under the law, but now you became a child. And it's even higher. Now this I say an heir. So a child of a rich person, an heir, okay? As long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Why? But he's under tutors and governors until a time appointed to the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, when we were under the law, when we were in the Old Testament, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There it is again. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now look, notice this. He's saying you're not under the law anymore, and he says, now you're a son, and now you're the heir, and the heir gets the Holy Spirit inside of him, and the Holy Spirit is crying, Abba, Father, just like Romans 8 is saying, I want you, Father, okay? This is all a principle of the law. The whole book of Galatians is don't go back under the law. Every word of it is. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, run to desire again to be in bondage? Why are you trying to go back to the law? You're a son. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I should have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Notice the law, going back to the law, is bondage. And it says, do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. Christ has made us free. So we now have what the Bible calls liberty. Okay? The Bible calls it liberty. Now let me give you just a few things on this. Number one, liberty is the Lord setting us free from the bondage of the law by Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1, stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again of the yoke of bondage. Chapter 5, circumcision. You were not required to be circumcised. Every Jew was in the Old Testament. But the Bible tells us, we talk about the circumcision of the heart, and it's a spiritual picture. And he says, do not, and these Gentiles, they're going, we have to get back under the law. We got to go back and get the Sabbaths and the holy days and all those things. And all of us have to be circumcised now because we got to go back under the law. And he says, do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, he that's going to keep part of the law is a debtor to the whole law. That means you have to keep every word of the law or you're not saved. If you want to go in underneath that system where your righteousness has come by the law, then you're going to be obligated to keep the law perfectly. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, we might be justified by the works of the law, but not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So do not go back into that bondage. Stay in the liberty out of the law of Christ. You're underneath a better system. Do not go be tangled up again. It comes through Christ. He set us free. Verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So just in my Bible, on this page, there's a million things saying he's taking you out. And here in Galatians. And so he takes you from a servant under the law to a child underneath grace. But to as many as received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God. And then the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Okay? It says the Spirit is in our heart. Verse 6, crying, Abba, Father. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians, just back a page here or two, a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? So there's the Holy Spirit being in our hearts. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. There is this liberty. So, first thing is the law. Liberty is the Lord setting us free from the law and the bondage of it into a better relationship with God, freedom in Christ. And it's by done by Jesus Christ. Number two, liberty brings wonderful responsibility. It's called the glorious liberty of the children of God in Romans chapter 8. And if you look in first of all, underneath liberty brings wonderful responsibility in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. But now, after you're known of God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? First of all, the responsibility is not to go back to the law. We read these verses in chapter 5 and verse 1. Your responsibility is not to go back to the law and live in fear that you've got to earn your salvation and you've got to go back to the law. Why are you going back to that beggarly servant, hoping, fear? Now you've been set free from the fear of the law. You've been set free from fear of death. You are a child of God. Don't go back to living in fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So do not go back. Going back to law is fear that God is not going to save me, and it's not enough that Christ died for me. I need to do good works. I need to go back and keep all these commandments. And it is not that. Therein lies the problem we'll get to later, is people say, yeah, see, it's not the commandments that are the big deal. It's not those things. It's freedom. It's to do what you want. And anytime somebody says that's wrong and do that, say, hey, but don't judge me. I'm under liberty. That's the error some people make. And the Bible will address that a little later. Liberty brings wonderful responsibility, first, not to go back to bondage. Number letter B, I call it underneath this second point, to serve as a willing child of God. To serve as a willing child of God. That's the responsibility. God says, you are not in bondage anymore. I want you to willingly serve me with your liberty. I have saved you. Now want to serve me. You don't have to keep the commandments to be saved. Now you're free to serve me because you love me. You have liberty. I want you to do it because you want to. Verse 6 of chapter 4, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, there are no more longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Why do you want to go back to those beggarly things? And it says, you are a son. And so God puts you that way. Let me take you back to Exodus chapter 21 and show you a good picture of it. Back in the Old Testament, it was a picture of this that is done away with. In Exodus chapter 21, right after the Ten Commandments, talking about a servant, and a Hebrew servant, one of God's people, in chapter 21. And after 7 years, you set him free in certain situations. And in verse 5, it says, and the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then the master shall bring in the judges, and they shall bring him to the door and the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You know what it's saying there? It says some people say, I've been serving this family and serving this family. Now it's and it's the end of 7 years. I have to let them go free, but I don't want to go free. I love them. I want to serve them the rest of my life. Then they do it as a willing servant, even though they have liberty. You follow? Okay. I don't have to serve God today. Like people who don't understand liberty, you'll say, I know I'm saved. I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Jesus paid it all. They say, why don't you just go out and rob banks and kill people? Because I want to serve God. Now, I love God. He set me free, and I say, I want to serve my master. I don't want to go back into the wickedness of the world. I want to serve him willingly. I'm at liberty, and I got to show my love more because of it. Next, do the right things for the right reasons. This is C underneath that. Do the right things for the right reasons. That's what's a wonderful responsibility you have. 1 Peter in chapter 2. You raise your child, and your child, when they're young, they're like, oh, do I have to? And, you know, they might not understand the rules and stuff like that. But as they get older and they love you and they learn to trust you and realize you're doing what's best for them, they want to do what you say and they want to obey because they love you and because they trust you and because you want what's best for them. And they're getting wiser and seeing what's best to do with their life. And that's the way we as Christians should grow into. 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me double check here. And let me look at my reference here. Let me find my notes where I had it written down. 1 Peter chapter 2. And, there it is. Verse 5. It says, "He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." Then interesting, he says, you now offer up spiritual sacrifices, not carnal, physical ones, not lambs, but these are the sacrifice of praise, for example. These are willing things. These are spiritual sacrifices. These are, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I'm willingly doing this. These are spiritual sacrifices. And that's what we offer up to God. It's for the right reasons. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we'll start at verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it is comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." You know what you're doing? You're not stealing, you're not killing, you're not committing adultery, you're not coveting. Why? Because you love them. Not because you're worried about God removing you from the congregation of the children of Israel. You love those people and you don't want to do them wrong. In the Old Testament, you know why you didn't do something bad? Because the punishments were so severe. I mean, you could be killed for the smallest thing. A child disobeyed their parents, they could be killed for it. Yeah, that's not too bad. Never mind. And we see all these things. We see all these things that are so harsh in the Old Testament. But it says, if you just love, you won't do these things to somebody. If you love the Lord, you won't commit idolatry. If you love, you won't commit adultery. You'll love that family, not want to ruin it. And if you have love, you'll do the right thing. It's a motivation. Liberty puts us into higher motivations, and it's free because love will fulfill the entire law. Next, it's liberty, but it's also to reach people. It gives us a responsibility to reach people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. This is a great example of this, talking about dietary things. So in the Old Testament, you wanted to reach somebody who's a Gentile, and you put your food in front of them. They put their food in front of you, and you weren't allowed to eat that food. it was pork or it's something like that, and you would offend them because you could not eat it. Well, the Bible says, God, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. Jesus says, not that which enters into the mouth that defiles a man. And so Jesus talked about your food, and Jesus, that was, by the way, that was changing everything right there when he said that in the book of Mark. And so all of a sudden now, we choose what we eat, not because it's commanded or not commanded, but because it's best. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Watch this. It's to help reach people in this section. Verse 19. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, not as not being a law to God, but unto Christ, that I might gain them that are under the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain them the gain the weak. I am all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker with you. Look at chapter 8 and verse 13, the context here. Chapter 8, verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God, neither if we eat are we better, or neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Notice that? You think you can eat that stuff, that's fine. But somebody who's got a weak conscience, they see that and are offended and are hurt that you're eating that thing that was sacrificed to an idol or that forbidden food, and you offend them. I know God can cleanse the meat that was sacrificed to some idol. But you know what? Your brother or sister who says, that was given to Baal. How can you eat that? That wounds me. That hurts me. It says, do not eat that meat in front of them. Yes, you have liberty, but not liberty to hurt. Not liberty to offend. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means that liberty of yours become a stumbling block for them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered unto idols? And through thy knowledge shall thy weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you so sin against a brother and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Okay, so liberty is an opportunity now. You can eat with the Gentile. You cannot do something or do something, but it's not so you can say, look what I can do. Ha ha ha. I'm not underneath the grime, underneath grace now. I can. And it's not to flaunt and to offend people. Okay? There's no Bible command that I can't drink root beer in a brown bottle. Okay? But somebody might drive by and see it and think it is not, there's no root in it. Okay? And so thereby I offend somebody else. So use liberty as an opportunity to reach people and not to offend and not to ruin your testimony. And we see that because you want to help people. Number three. Liberty is not a license to do wrong. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Liberty is not a license to do wrong. This is the big issue. Boy, many liberal Christians today who don't understand the morality of God, and many times they say this, listen, we're under grace. I'm under liberty. Don't judge me. And they're doing things that are forbidden in the Bible. I mean, living together. Getting drunk. Oh, I'm under liberty. We're not underneath the law anymore. We're not underneath the commandments. Listen, we're free now under Christ. We can do what we want to do as long as we love the Lord. No, that's not what the Bible says. It is not for you to have a license to go do wrong. And well, the Bible's going to say that to us, but many people misunderstand. Yes, you're free from the law, but you're not free from morality. You're not free from doing right. You're free from the rigid things of the law that were a shadow of things to come and things that God said, hey, these were a picture and you can do these things now. Don't go ahead and eat the spider soup if the guy's not going to get saved if you don't eat it. Okay? I know you weren't supposed to eat spiders in the Old Testament and probably not good to eat them now, but if somebody's going to die and go to hell because they're offended because I won't eat it, then I'll eat spider soup. Amen? Okay. Not that spiritual yet. All right. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, for so with the will of God, you may with well-doing put the silence of ignorant foolish men as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It says, do not use your liberty you now have as a hidden thing to go out and do bad things now. That's not what liberty's for. You're free to become a servant of God. You're free to be God's child and do his work. Do not use it. We'll read a lot more verses on this, but let's illustrate it this way. Here's our thing. We have such a messed up idea of freedom in America now. You know what people talk about for freedom right now? They talk about freedom to go get stoned and ruin your brain cells and put ammonia in your brain and THX and everything else that ruins your brain and not be of a sober mind. We talk about freedom. We say gay marriage. When you say freedom, we talk about license to do wrong. That's what we talk about. Understand that's the wrong idea. It's not historical idea of liberty, nor is it biblical liberty. Liberty, when your forefathers came to America, they wanted to come to America to be free to do right. They came to America, they didn't say, man, let's leave England and let's go over there and man, let's go get high in America. It's going to be awesome. We can go commit adultery and get drunk and get high and we can go and have all kinds of morality and drunken parties. That's not why they came to America. They came to America so they could be free to worship God without the government telling them how they had to worship God. They came to America for economic freedom. You know what that meant? That meant they could go and keep their money. Amen. And what they earn. That's liberty, the right to do right. That's liberty for us. It's saying that God's freed me from all the law of bondage. I want to show him how much I love him. I'm free to serve him now. I'm already going to heaven now. Because I'm free to serve you, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to serve and love people and do the right thing. I know I'm not, all these things. I know I'm not going to get killed if I commit adultery like I would in the Bible. If I fornicated, I get killed in the middle of the city. I'm sorry, outside the city. Now I'm not going to do it because I love God. I love people. I'm free to serve willingly. I'm a child of God. I got to act like that. Can you imagine? Here's a prisoner, and the governor decides, and this guy's facing 30 years in prison, and the governor comes and says, you know what? You've been such a good prisoner, and we decide, you know what? We're going to let you go free. We know you committed attempted murder and armed robbery, but you know what? We're going to have you go free. And the guy says, awesome. Now I can go murder more people. Now I can go rob a bunch more people. Now, is that why he gets liberty? Does he get liberty? So he says, yeah, I'm free now. I'm not in jail anymore. So now I can go do a bunch of crimes. Is that what freedom is? Freedom is not, I am now free to go do bad things. Freedom is now, I am free and I'm going to be a good citizen. Listen, you're not in jail right now. You're free to do good things, not bad things. You don't say, I'm free, I'm not in jail, so I can do bad things now. That's really illogical. And it's really illogical for Christians to say, well, I'm set free. Now I'm set free by Jesus Christ. I have liberty. And now I can go out and get drunk, kill people, and shoot people. Listen, I'm not in the law. Thou shalt not kill is in the Old Testament. Man, I got some people I'm going after this week. That's not why God gives you liberty. To do wrong. It is not a cloak for maliciousness, but to love and to serve one another. Now let's read a bunch of verses that say that. Romans chapter 8. That's what liberty is. Man, praise the Lord, we're set free from the law. I would hate to live in the Old Testament times. Oh man, terrible, brutal. Why? It was teaching us how wicked, the Bible says that sin might appear exceedingly sinful, so we'd understand the heart of God and how much he hates sin and how man all falls short of the glory of God. The law included all under sin. Boy, I don't need all those laws to tell me that. I'm a sinner. If they kill me for every sin I committed, Boy, we'd have a small congregation. Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember the Spirit? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's your liberty. It's freedom to do right. It's freedom to fix you. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us because we walk after the Spirit. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember we said who the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Here's these verses that keep on saying over and over, where the Spirit of God is, there's this liberty. If you follow the Spirit, you're in liberty. Why? Because you have inside of you a Holy Spirit who's going to guide you to right and tell you what's wrong. And where the Spirit of God is, you see what's right and wrong. And in your liberty, your freedom, you serve the Lord because the Holy Spirit is in your heart crying, Abba, Father, drawing you to the Father and making you you're free to serve God willingly. And you have the Holy Spirit telling you, don't do that. And you know what's right and wrong. And you're told from the inside now by the Spirit inside of you, you should not do that. It might not be anything written in the Bible. And there is things written in the Bible. We'll read in a minute. But there's many things not written in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit inside of you says, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Because the Spirit of God is inside of you. And he's drawing you to God. And he shows you what you need to do. Romans chapter 13. It's going to name the commandments. You're not supposed to do these things. Verse 9, we already read these. But for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended this, saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. Is there still commandments? Yeah. But they're all falling underneath, not the Old Testament law, but underneath love your neighbor. By the way, I always have thought this. When you get something stolen that's valuable to you, you think, I'm never going to make somebody else go through that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like graffiti. Man, when somebody graffitied a van a while back and we had to get that off, I thought, oh man, if these blessed people ever knew what a pain this was, they would never do this. Why? Because now you love enough. You realize, I don't want them to go through that. And you have the law being fulfilled of not doing the bad things because now it's you're in liberty and love and it fulfills it. But you still have commandments. You still have the commandments. But now they're motivated by something higher because God's morality is still there. And so he names a bunch of commandments. Immorality is still wrong. Let me just give you verses. I'm just going to show you in the New Testament. People say, we're under law, we're under grace now, and we don't have to keep commandments. Listen, the New Testament is full of commandments. And they're all the morality that God had before the law even came. And it's God's law. Ephesians chapter 4, we read this one last week. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. I'm under grace, I can still steal, man. No. Let him that stole steal no more. You still have morality and commandments. You just are not underneath the bondage of the law in these things. You do it because you love. You do it because you love. But let him labor with his hands. That's what grace would do. See, the law would say, if you steal, we're going to cut your hand off. Grace would say, if you steal, quit stealing and now take your hands and work hard so you can give to somebody. It turns it into love. Okay, and that's what that does. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm under grace. I'm under liberty. I can go do. You can't tell me what I can't do. I can do it just as long as I feel it in my heart. Well, let's look at Ephesians 5. That's New Testament. And verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Sounds like there's still commandments, right? I see commandments there. Keeps going. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Ooh. Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. It's not just what you don't do, it's what you do do. For you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. He's a pole man. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. Sounds like commandments. Let's see. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. We'll finish up here. Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy and then Titus. Chapter 2. Just commands, just real briefly. Titus 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God, which hath appeared to all men. For the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men. And then if we read right in here, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So again, just live a certain way. If you don't believe this, notice when Jesus said, you have heard it said, Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You've heard it said, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, whosoever hates his brother without a cause is in danger of hellfire. Whoa. Sounds like thou shalt not kill is still there and even stricter. See, if there was a law that said you must treat your wife right, that wouldn't be a bad law. It's passed by 100% vote by women. And so we have that law. But you know what? I think a man who loves his wife will treat her better than he would have to out of duty. Okay? I mean, they could pass a law, you shall not starve your child. And you're saying, I don't need that law. I love my kids. You see? The law of love supersedes. You're free. You don't need to give, I'm not underneath that law. You don't need to give me that law. Okay? I don't need that law. I have love. I'm at liberty. I do it because I love them, not because, Johnny, just so you know, here's your bread and water, so don't starve to death because the law said I had to. How's Johnny going to feel? He's not going to feel very good about your love toward him. And when you do it out of duty for God, do it because you love God. And the Bible says we are created into good works when he saved us. One more verse, James 2. Kind of been all over the Bible today. James 2. In verse 12, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Listen, when God says, I gave my son for you, what have you given me? That is so much more convicting to me than thou shalt not. You know, when you really fall in love with people, there are times when there's a commandment, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But when your heart is broken for somebody, the law of love makes you go witness. Yes, God says, thou shalt give 10%. He does. And I don't think, by the way, referred to in the New Testament too. God never changed that. Didn't fulfill anything, okay? But actually, technically in the New Testament, everything's God's. But you know what? Christians who love God don't go, oh, do I have to? They say, I wish I'd give more to God because they love God. No wonder the Bible says, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Because liberty says, I want to give God, I love you. I'm not worried about being kicked out of the congregation of Israel if I don't give. I'm free from all those rules. But Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. So it is, what is liberty? Liberty is God has set us free to serve him. Just like somebody land an American shore and says, I am now free. I can do what I need to do, and I can be free to serve God like I want, and I can have whatever land I want and own it and work hard and give my kids a future. I'm free to do good. And that's what we have. And we are blessed. We are underneath the law of liberty. Thank God we're not under the Old Testament. However, love binds us to still do incredible things. Gladly. It's an opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these lessons. We've been to learn a little bit about liberty and about the law and how we're under grace now. Boy, some people are fighting to keep the Sabbath and fighting to keep a holy day and fighting to keep all these things in the Old Testament and not understanding we're free now to serve God with a loving heart. It's not about the diet. But our diet might affect somebody else because we have love and so we do what's right with it. Help us, Lord. Help us to live under the law of love, because love is the fulfilling of the law. And we thank you for your word and how it teaches us what to do and what's right. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's say you're sitting there and you're the person sitting next to you is in church is starving.